Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
As you know, this last week I was up in Fort Worth leading Disciple Now for my previous church, First Baptist Watauga, and I hope that you enjoyed having Pastor Dennis down here with you last week as he brought God's Word to you, and I had a chance to talk with him following the week, and he said that he greatly enjoyed meeting each of you and just getting to know Stockdale just a little bit better. And I'm excited to say, if you haven't heard already, I know Pastor Dennis mentioned this in at least one of the services, but there was a student that was attending Disciple Now last weekend that gave her life to Christ. This was a student that they had been praying for over a year, and so there was just a big celebration on Saturday when she gave her life to Christ. And so certainly seeing that salvation made that trip up there worth it. Now, in our 11 years in Fort Worth, we definitely developed some routines and some habits. And I was reminded of one of these habits on Saturday morning last week. I had some extra time before I had to be up at the church on Sunday afternoon, and so I decided to stop by Walmart to pick up a few things, the same Walmart that I shopped at when we lived there. And so when we lived there, I was in the habit of pulling into Walmart at the same exact entrance, driving a little ways forward, and then turning left, and then going down the exact same lane every time to park in that same lane. Anyone else do that? You park in the same lane every time you go to the store? All right, I'm glad I'm not the only one. So when I went to that Walmart, I was reminded just how easy it is to just slip back into those habits because I pulled into the exact same entrance that I always pulled into. I drove just a little ways forward, and as I got ready to turn left, I realized that I couldn't because in our time away, they built a Starbucks in the parking lot of Walmart, and the place where I turned was no longer there. And so because I couldn't turn where I was in the habit of turning, I had to find a new way. So this morning, we are launching into this new series titled Habits Worth Holding On To. Now, last week, Pastor Dennis wrapped up our vision series for us for 2024, and I've cast a simple vision for us this year. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. There are some things that are worth holding on to, and then there are some things that just aren't, and Pastor Dennis talked about some of those things last week. So let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. And this is true for the habits that we have in our life as well. There are some habits that are worth holding on to. There are some habits that aren't. Now, there are some habits that probably don't matter that much, like which lane you park on at the grocery store. But there are some habits that we should be in the habit of doing these things, and then there are some things that we should not be in the habit of doing. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews said, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, giving us this reminder that if we are in the habit of neglecting coming together, if we're in the habit of neglecting gathering with other believers, with our church family, then we have developed a bad habit. And so we are told to develop good habits, habits that are going to spur us on in our relationship with Christ and in our relationship with other believers as well. And so beginning today and for the next four Sundays, we're going to look at five habits that for us as a church and for us as believers, these are habits that are worth developing and growing in. These are five habits that are worth holding on to. And I think the best place for us to start is with our mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Now, if you're newer with us, We have a simple mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. We are a community church with a kingdom mission, which means that we are present in this community, and we recognize that our mission really begins right here in the community where God has planted us. But our mission also extends beyond simply this community. Our mission is to further God's kingdom. And so we as a church, we have identified four ways that we can accomplish this mission: to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. And if you're one of our longer-term members, then you know that for the last few years, we've been in the habit of beginning each year by looking back at our mission statement. And I think this is a good habit for us to be in, because I think it's good for us to remember our mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, to remember the mission that we've been called to, because it gives us an opportunity to be renewed in and be refreshed in this mission, but it also gives us the opportunity to pause and to assess how we're doing in this mission. So as we begin this series this morning, Habits Worth Holding On To, the first habit that is important for us to hold on to, both as a church and as believers, is this habit of love. We need to hold on to the habit of love. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 13 this morning. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. The first part of Romans 13 really deals with the Christian's duty to the state. In other words, it answers this question for us: how are we to respond to earthly governing authorities? And verse 1 gives us an important reminder that there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. And there's a couple of very clear takeaways from this. First, we're reminded that earthly authorities are instituted by God. In other words, there's not a single king, leader, or president that God has not allowed into that position. Now, that doesn't mean that the person in that position is a great leader. It doesn't even mean that they are a good leader. What it means is that they are God's leader. In other words, they are being used as part of God's plan. In fact, there are times that we see in Scripture where God allows for a bad leader to be put in place to bring about judgment upon the people so that they might recognize their sins, turn from their sins, and turn back to God. And so this is a good reminder for us in times of bad leadership. May we see bad leadership as an opportunity for us to examine our own hearts, to cry out to God and to repent in areas where we need repentance. But then there are times where we see good leaders put in place, even great leaders put in place in Scripture, and that was so that God might bring about blessings for His people. Another good reminder for us, in times of good leadership and great leadership, may we be reminded to turn back to God, that our hearts would be filled with praise, that we might glorify Him for the many blessings that are poured out upon us. But whether it's a good leader in place or whether it's a bad leader in place, once again, we are reminded that it is God's leader in place, because earthly authorities are instituted by God. But the second thing we're reminded of is that God is our primary authority. If He is the one that has instituted every earthly authority, then He is the one that is over all authorities. And I think that this is a good reminder for us as we begin another election year. Because this is what I've noticed in election years. Maybe you've noticed the same thing. It seems like in election years that chaos seems to ensue. Whether it's chaos on the news, chaos on social media, chaos in the debates, or even chaos in the streets of our country, it seems like chaos seems to ensue. And so I want to give you this reminder, especially as we start off this election year, that God, regardless of what happens this election year, God is still on His throne. Amen. Regardless of what happens this election year, God is still on His throne. He's not shaken or surprised by anything. Rather, he is still reigning supreme over all things. And so in the midst of whatever chaos could ensue, and I pray that there is not chaos this year, but regardless of what chaos could ensue, this reminder should give us a great peace. That regardless of what happens, God is still on his throne. And as we think about God being the primary authority in our lives, I think it's important to also ask this question. Have you allowed for God to be the primary authority in your life? Have you allowed for God to rule and reign over you? Now, the answer to this question begins with salvation. It begins with recognizing that God the Father sent Jesus, God the Son, into this world to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. That he did die, that he did rise again, conquering death in the grave. And as we recognize that, it means turning from our sins and confessing Jesus as Lord. Allowing God to be the primary authority in our life, it begins with salvation. But it doesn't end with salvation. It goes beyond salvation. Allowing God to have the ultimate rule and reign over our life goes beyond simply saying a prayer, walking an aisle, and getting baptized. All of those are important steps, and all of those are good steps. But for the believer, those are really first steps. Much like a child that takes their first steps, parents are going to rejoice when they take those first steps, but the parent also desires that the steps forward don't stop. That movement forward has to continue as they grow, as they learn, as they develop. And this is true for the believer as well. We take those first steps when we come to know the Lord for salvation, but those steps forward must not stop. As we grow, as we learn, we must continue to take steps forward. We must continue to grow in God's word. We must continue to submit to God's authority and allow for his word to lead us in obedience. And so as this chapter begins, it begins with this recognition of both our earthly authorities and our ultimate authority. It begins with this reminder that we are under both earthly laws and spiritual laws. And all of that really leads into this command of love that we're going to see in our passage right now. So with that in mind, let's read Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandment are summed up by this commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting that word, love. Once again, the Greek word that is used there for love is the word agape. If you remember, this is the same word that we looked at, the same type of love that we saw during our Advent series as we talked about God's faithfulness to show us his love through Jesus Christ. God loves us with an agape love. And so if you remember this term agape, it's not to be understood as a romantic love. It's not to be understood as a brotherly love. It is to be understood as a love that involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of will. In other words, it is a faithful and an intentional love. Now, as we think about this command here for the believer to love with an agape type love, I want you to understand God is simply calling us to do something that he did himself. And the flip side of this would be to say that God is not calling us to do something that he was unwilling to do himself. God is simply calling us to do something that he did himself. I've talked about my friend Troy before. Troy was one of my managers at Cinema 4 back when I worked at the movie theater in Rockport when I was a senior in high school. Troy has become one of my good friends. In fact, for the last couple of years when I've gone to Rockport for my yearly sermon planning retreat, I've been able to meet up with Troy, have dinner, spend some time hanging out with Troy. Now you'll find him running Movies Inc. in Aransas Pass and Cal Allen, for those of you familiar with that area. But of all the managers that I had there, Troy was by far my favorite, because most of the managers, they would come in on the nights that I was working, they'd come in and they'd tell us what we needed to do, and then they would disappear into the office, and we may or may not see them before closing time. But when Troy would come in, he would come in and he would tell us everything that we needed to do, but then he would stay there and he would work alongside of us. He didn't just tell us to do something, he demonstrated the very things that he asked us to do. You know, it's a lot easier to follow someone. It's a lot easier to follow a leader who doesn't just give orders and disappear. It's a lot easier to follow someone who gives orders but also demonstrates the same willingness to do what we've been asked to do. Understand, this command to love is not simply something that God has... It's not a command that God has given to us and then he simply disappeared. Rather, God was willing to demonstrate this love for us in sending Jesus to the cross. And it's the same love that God offers to us when we come to salvation. So again, as God gives us this command, God is simply calling us to do something that he did himself. Now, recognizing that God is calling us to do something that he demonstrated himself, and recognizing that he has called us to this love, this should be enough for us to say, you know what, we should be in the habit of love. We should be in the habit of showing this same type of love that was shown to us. But let me give you two more reasons to walk away with today from our passage as to why we should be in the habit of love. First, we should be in the habit of love because love is our primary debt. What does verse 8 say again? It says, "Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another." We should be in the habit of love because love is our primary debt. I don't know about you, but I think the worst part about becoming an adult is realizing all of the things that you have to pay for on your own, right? You know, I really didn't think when I was a kid, I didn't think about the cost of groceries. I didn't think about the loans that were required to buy a house or buy a car. I didn't think about all of the never-ending bills that we have, because as children, really everything is just kind of provided for us. But then sometime between high school graduation and college graduation, some of those bills started being transferred over to me, especially when I got my first cell phone in college, a flip phone, all right? And I had to get a job so I could pay for my cell phone bill. And then as I graduated from college, I had to begin paying back my school loans. And Sarah and I, we bought our first car, and we had to start paying those loans, and we had to pay for the apartment that we were renting and the electricity bill, right? And the bills just go on and on. All of a sudden, we had debts to be paid. Now, this passage is not implying that we should never take out loans. That can be a more extreme interpretation of this. In fact, in Matthew 5:42, Jesus actually allows for borrowing. But that's not to say that we need to be haphazard with borrowing or going into debt either. We see a warning for that in Proverbs 22:7. Those are verses you can look at later. And so this passage, it's not warning us not to have any debt. However, it's really a continuation of thought from verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Pay your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls, respect to those you owe respect, and honor to those you owe honor." And so the message for us in verse 8 is really this: even when all our debts are paid, we still owe love. Hear that again. Even when all of our debts are paid, we still owe love. Love is our primary debt. Why? Because God first showed us love. Understand, if you're a believer, you have experienced the love of God. Prior to salvation, our debt is not love for others. Prior to salvation, our debt is death. Romans 3:23 is clear, for the wages of sin is death. But Christ took that debt upon himself when he went to the cross. And so when we come to know Jesus as Lord, we receive God's love. And therefore, we have a new debt, not of death for ourselves, but we have this debt of love for others, that we might show others the same love that was freely bestowed upon us. Love has become our primary debt. So we should be in the habit of love because love is our primary debt. Second and finally, we should be in the habit of love because love accomplishes much. The rest of verse 8 says this, "For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." And again, at the end of verse 10, we read, "Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law." We should be in the habit of love because love accomplishes much. So it's appropriate for our mind to go back to the Ten Commandments because this is exactly where our passage takes us. Understand, many in the audience would have been Jews that had come to know Christ as Lord. And as Jews, right, they were familiar with the law. They were familiar with the commandments that had been given to them through Moses. And so as Jews, it would have been their practice to uphold the law. It would have been their practice to strive to keep the Ten Commandments. And so what Paul is telling them here is this: we don't uphold the law simply by striving. We uphold the law by loving. Let me say that again. We don't uphold the law simply by striving. We uphold the law by loving. Again, we see the example of this set for us by God himself through Jesus Christ, because it was through Christ's sacrifice on the cross that the law was upheld. It was through Christ's sacrifice on the cross that the law was fulfilled. God didn't just try really hard to save us. God loved us, and therefore, in his love, he fulfilled the law, and in doing so, he saved us. We don't uphold the law simply by striving. We uphold the law by loving. Now, this is what this looks like as we apply this to our life, practically speaking. Let me give you some examples. Husbands, if you are struggling in your marriage, maybe because you yell too much, right? You yell at your wife too much. The answer is not to try and stop yelling. The answer is to grow in love for your wife. Pray that you would grow in love for your wife and allow for your love to lead your mouth. Wives, it means that if you're struggling in your marriage because you're not showing respect to your husband, the answer is not to try and respect your husband more. The answer is to grow in love for your husband. Pray that you would grow in love for your husband and allow for your love to lead your respect. Now, husbands, on the flip side of that, that means that you need to be deserving of the respect that your wife is going to give you. Teenagers, children, it means that if you are struggling to walk in obedience to your parents, the answer is not to simply try and obey them more. The answer is to grow in love for your parents. Pray that you would grow in love for your parents and allow for your love to lead your actions. If you're struggling to serve your neighbor, it doesn't mean that you need to just try and be a better neighbor. The answer is to grow in love for your neighbor. Pray that you would grow in love for your neighbor and allow for your love to lead your service for them. We don't uphold the law simply by striving. We uphold the law by loving. So when we were living up in Fort Worth, we had some neighbors on one side of us that, let's just say, it was a struggle to be their neighbor. All right, their yard was always overgrown. Their garage was filled from floor to ceiling, wall to wall, front to back with literal garbage. and they were housing about 20 stray cats. And so there were times when we walked out our front door and we were hit in the face with an odor that would have just been better left in a litter box. And so I'll just be honest, there were many days spent in our house just complaining about our neighbors. But then one day we decided to start praying for our neighbors. Not simply that they would move away, that would have been the easy thing to pray, but we began praying and asking God to give us a heart for them that we might see them and love them the way that He does. And not too long after we began praying for our neighbors, God opened the door for us to have a conversation with them. And as I had this conversation with them, I began to learn more about them and the struggles that they had. The struggles that they had with their health, and as a result, the struggles that they had with their finances and many other struggles as well. And it also turned out that they were getting citation after citation for all of the stuff in their garage and for the pets that they had. They were getting all of these citations. They didn't have the resources to take care of any of this. And so through that conversation, the Lord opened the door for us to serve them. They actually invited a group from our church to come to their house one Saturday to clean out their garage for them, to clean up their backyard. They actually had trash in their backyard too. And so we were able to clean up their yard, mow their front and backyard for them, help them to make it just a little bit more livable of a space. And it was such a blessing to stand in the yard with them, not as one neighbor upset with another, but as a neighbor willing to serve the other because of a love that God had birthed into our hearts. We don't uphold the law simply by striving. We uphold the law by loving. So we should be in the habit of love because love is our primary debt, and we should be in the habit of love because love accomplishes much. Now, if we realize that we're not in the habit of love, if we realize that we're going in a different direction, the wrong direction, then maybe it's time to find a new way. Maybe it's time to begin growing in this habit of love. Love is a habit worth holding on to. Now, if you're here today and you've never allowed Jesus to be the Lord of your life, the first call for you today is not to begin growing in this habit of love. The first call for you is to recognize God's great love for you through Jesus Christ and to turn from your sins and to confess Jesus as Lord this morning. And if you've never made that confession, then I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this will be your opportunity to respond this morning. And let me give you just a few ways you can respond. If you're here and you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, you recognize that, but you are ready to do that this morning, then I want to give you the opportunity to come. I'm going to be standing right here. Let's talk. Let's pray. Today, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. But listen, there may be areas in your life, you may be a believer already, but you may say, there are areas where I need to grow in love. Whether it's love for someone in your family, whether it's love for someone in this church, whether it's love for someone on your street where you live, you need to grow in love for them. Listen, you can deal with God right where you're at. You can confess that and pray right where you're at. If you need someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. If you want to come and kneel at the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly confess Jesus as Lord through baptism. If that's you, then I want to invite you to make that decision as well this morning. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion. We've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling us to make this my church home, to unite our life with this body of believers, to be on mission with this body of believers, to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. If God's calling you to connect your life with First Baptist Church Stockdale, then I would invite you to do that as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, let me encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.